going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Lee Salisbury here. Welcome to a bonus edition of Soap from the Box, the TV podcast that goes behind the scenes of the biggest shows where I talk to some of the biggest stars. This week sees the final of Celebrity Big Brother, a show that's taken the nation by storm again. Sharon Osbourne lasted a week, she only got paid for a week. Last year, the show returned with normal people back to our screens to ITV, and today I speak to one of them. My guest today lasted 39 days in the Big Brother house last year for the 20th series of the original reality TV show. This time, coming to us on ITV, it was such a huge success, leading to the current series of Celebrity Big Brother. The show promised last year to people from all walks of life, capturing their every move and every twist and turn. So let's go behind the scenes with one of the best housemates. It's Jenkin Edwards. Hello, Jenkin.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Pleasure to have you on. It's so weird to speak to someone from a show like this because I was obsessed with it last year. So I feel like I know you already.
Oh, honestly, even in the house, I used to say I'm so gutted because I'm such a big fan of the show
that
I can't watch the show.
Did you watch it all when you came out?
I haven't watched all of it yet. It took me a few months to be able to watch some of it back. But
I'm sure,
I've only got a couple. So they haven't watched.
And I mean, the last year's one was the shortest series, bizarrely, even though it ran at 42 days, which is the shortest they put housemates in. I mean, long time. I'm sure that felt still to you like an eternity.
Yes, I remember on day two thinking, right, okay, if you make it to the end, you've just got to do this another 20 times.
Wow.
And I was like, no, that's not the right way to look at this.
No, I suppose the first 2 days anyway, even if you start a new job, they seem to kind of take forever. Do you know what I mean? As you find your feet. And then by the end, it was just like racing along.
Honestly, so we would always say that the days felt long, but the weeks felt short.
Right, yes.
And then towards the end, it was like the hours felt long, but the days felt short. And it just weirdly started to pick up momentum. And I think, because obviously part of it is a bit of a mind game. Your mind is just racing. So by the end, you're exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the big thing that people obviously, I don't think we need to explain the show to anyone listening. If you haven't watched Big Brother, then, I mean, where have you been?
And where have you been?
Your entire life. I mean, it's changed a lot. I don't know whether you're probably too young to have watched the first ever series, are you?
The first season I watched was when Chanel went in as a celebrity.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't.
I mean, we had on the podcast, actually, you can listen to everyone now, Craig Phillips, who won the first ever series of Big Brother. And obviously it was such a different show then because they didn't do games. They didn't do anything. They literally just sat there all day. There was no kind of almost mind games from the producers. It was a total social experiment. But I mean, I said to him, I mean, if you found it hard and long, I mean, can you imagine actually doing if there were no games or anything set up?
And they used to do it for so long. It used to be like 12 weeks. And it was like, how?
I know.
I wouldn't be able to get that much time off work.
No, I know. So, I mean, they promised, and I do agree, actually, last year, I was so pleased that it was people from all walks of life, because I'm a bit over reality shows where you've got your wannabe social influencers. Do you know what I mean? And they all know what's going to happen. And I think, do you agree, it was kind of such a mixture of people, you know, that I did, probably a lot of people who weren't just looking for fame, because, again, the show had kind of died a death a bit and was coming back. So I'm guessing you guys didn't even know if it was going to be popular.
Yeah, so that was the thing. Like, we had no idea if the show was even going to be successful or anything like that, especially as well, going on ITV, we sort of knew Love Island is the big show. That's the golden show. So it's sort of going to be like, is people going to look at this and just think, well, no, like, we prefer Love Island. And so there was nothing to compare it to on ITV. So it was sort of like, genuinely normal people who've always wanted to do Big Brother and just thinking, oh, let's give this a whirl, because there was no preconceived idea of what you could get from the show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, no, totally.
There's nothing to compare it to.
And let's go through the housemates. I mean, we won't pick on everyone, but seeing as this, for anyone who might not have watched last year's series, again, where have you been? But we'll go through a couple of, I suppose, my standout housemates that kind of show this reflection of everyday life and the wide variety of people they have. I mean, the first out was Fahida.
Farida,
who was 50, older woman. I mean, she kind of stood out to me because she kind of set feathers. She ruffled feathers straight away, didn't she, really?
Instantly, the first morning, I remember she pulled a chair out, she stood on top of the table and was like, let's make great TV. And everyone was sort of like, what? Like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not here to make great TV. We're here just to experience it.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, she was hilarious. She was wild, but she was a bit too much at times.
Saying it, she was the one who actually I think was really wanting the fame, wasn't she? Because she did go on about how big her social media was. Bizarrely, it was the oldest woman in the house. I think she was the oldest, looking at ages.
Yes.
She was the oldest woman in the house, the oldest person in the house. And she was the one who actually kind of had her head screwed on to what she wanted to get from this thing.
I know, honestly, fair play to her though. And I just remember, like, it would always, the conversations would always tend to turn back into about herself. And I just thought, like, fair play to you. Like, if you came in here with a game plan, I take my hat off to you, because she always said she either wants to be the first out or she wants to win. She didn't want anything in between.
Yeah. And then there was Zach, who was 28. He was second to be evicted. He, I think, ruffled lots of feathers in a weird way. But then it was that when you had notes from family and stuff that you kind of saw another side. And I think as a show, that's a hard thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, I don't know what you're like. I don't know what I would be like in there. I'm quite an outgoing person. But then if I'm in a big group of people, I can kind of totally go the other way and fall into myself. And I suppose you must know going in that obviously you do want to stay there, probably ideally as long as possible, to experience it, you know. But are you constantly thinking, like, am I saying enough? Am I, you know, revealing enough? Do you? It must go through your head, that, because we're all, I mean, I suppose I work in telly, so I'm much more attuned to the fact of what's going to make the screen out of 24 hours of recording. But were you thinking like that when you're in there?
I personally wasn't, but I think, I know, I've never worked in TV, so I just used to think, oh, well, they're not going to put this in, they're not going to put that in. So, like, I would think more, oh, they won't put what I'm saying in, more than, oh, they will.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like, I personally never fought for screen time. I couldn't have cared less. I was just there for the good time, really. But now, like, looking, like, watching the episodes and sort of experiencing it at the same time, you can sort of see people's minds ticking and stuff like that. And it's sort of like, right, this makes sense now of how and why certain people would have certain conversations, at, like, in certain places of the house, even just because it's best for the camera. And I just thought, I was so oblivious to it. I wish that I went in with a game plan.
Well, you never can, unless you play, and what you only do that once you play the game in a way, though, don't you? I think even though I work in telly, I never still know what my game, I don't know what a game plan could be, really. You either rub people up the wrong way or you kind of don't. And then we had, I'll miss off some people, but Kerry, who was another older lady in their 40s, she kind of, I think she split the audience. I think it was like, I never quite knew whether to like her or not to like her, because she was quite vocal, but then seemed to be playing a game to me. I don't know.
I think with Kerry, she was very vocal. In the house, we knew how vocal she was. And we would have, we heard the chants, get Kerry out.
Yeah, but that was early on, wasn't it? That was, yeah.
Yeah. But she still didn't seem to go up for nomination.
Yeah.
Even though we're hearing that the public didn't want her in the house. So it was, I think
is that weird? Because I would think that I would have thought she would be up for nomination, because don't you all sit there when you hear that thinking, what are they seeing? They must be seeing stuff that we're not, she must be being two-faced or something. Do you know? Even though, to be honest, I was surprised she was getting chanted, because she wasn't actually being two-faced. But I would think you would actually sit there thinking, right, obviously we're not seeing what they are, and she might be causing trouble. Did you not think that?
1,000%. I think on the first week, I was just like, oh my God, that's so bizarre. And then the second week, I'm like, right, okay, well, we're missing something here. There's got to be something, because why are we hearing it for a second time?
Yeah.
But I think what also was hard was obviously seeing her reaction to it. And, I love Kerry, and I've got a lot of time for Kerry, even in the house. Me and Kerry were pretty close. So then to see her reaction to it, it was sort of how... I think people might have felt a bit of guilt going in and then nominating her.
Yeah, true. So they felt like
she was going to go and face.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even imagine that you hear yourself being chanted. I mean, I know, because everyone says, obviously, that these things, of course, it's a game, but then, it becomes, we had Amanda on last week. Again, everyone listened to that from the Traitors. And like she said, it's like, she went on because she was like, there's no way you make friendship so quickly. And actually, she was amazed that, of course, you do, because you're only with each other. It's not like you can go home in the evening or you've got your phone to text someone going, oh, give me your view on this. Basically, you've only got the people in there, haven't you?
Exactly. And that's what I was saying to, I think me and Tom had a conversation, and he was like, oh, yeah, but we're not all real friends. And this was probably day four, something like that, because him and Chanel had a bicker. And I was like, but if you think about it, if you go on a date with someone for 2 hours, you go for coffee. We've been here now for 4 days. How many coffee dates have we been on together?
Yeah.
Essentially we'd be moving in by now.
Oh God. Yeah. You've been married. Exactly. And actually moving to Paul and Tom, I mean, they were your little group, and actually two very, very straight guys out there, proper boys.
Yes.
There was a really nice bond between you three, wasn't there?
Weirdly, I have never been friends with straight men either. So I was as shocked at that friendship as well. Tom walked in and instantly...
You bonded.
Literally instantly. He was stuck to the side of me. And I think I was his comfort blanket, but he was mine.
Yeah.
And then obviously we left together, which was nice. But I think we always had each other. And Paul as well, on the first night, me, Paul, Tom and Hallie stayed up till about 4 a.m. And we were just talking, and me and Paul come from a very similar background. So talking to him about his family just reminded me so much of my own. So I knew that I could see a lot of myself in Paul.
Yeah.
And I remember obviously on the first, the first full day, something was said and I just looked at Paul and I felt like I could read his mind.
Right.
And
then
became really close. And, we discussed things which never saw the light of day, but it was obviously we talked about men's mental health quite a lot, which was nice to get it from someone like Paul, who you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To talk so openly about it. And even after the show, I've spent a lot of time with Paul, and, I was struggling at one point with sort of anxiety, and he was the one who was like, look, I'm here, let's try and help you through it and stuff like that. And he's just so genuine, honestly. I love them both.
Saying that, it's a shame they didn't show. I can again understand as a TV producer, you want the fun and a bit of drama. But
yeah,
sometimes those conversations. It's such a shame that some of those conversations weren't put out. Do you know what I mean? Because they're really important issues, and it's important to see people that someone like Paul, because everyone, I think he's the one that everyone had a crush on, isn't he? Really, let's admit it.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Let's be honest. I think he was the eye candy in there.
It's like, and then by the first day, I was like, nah, I can't. And I just don't look at him like that.
No, well, once you get said to know someone, you don't. Things change. But I think, yeah, he was the eye candy for me. And then we had, I mean, there was the big storyline, I suppose, was between Henry, Matty and Jordan. Jordan, who, of course, who won in the end. And him and Henry are still together, which is what a lovely thing to come from the show, which never normally happens, apart from, well, Love Island it does, but not really in Big Brother.
I know.
Was that kind of, because, again, for people who might not have watched it, there was a bit of a, Henry really fell in love with basically Jordan, and Jordan, I think, was quite split at the beginning between his feelings for Matty and Henry. And Matty obviously had an open relationship on the outside. So it was very interesting to watch, actually. Normally, I'm not really into watching a love story, but it was a very, it could make a film that. Yeah. I mean, what was it like to be around that? Was it uncomfortable when you know something like that's going on?
It was not uncomfortable at all. So we never knew that Matty was part of whatever was going on.
Right.
Like, in the house. And then there were, on the eviction where it was the third eviction, Paul and Dylan had left. We were allowed out in the garden for a quick cigarette or a vape or some fresh air, whatever. So we had, I think it was 15 minutes outside. While we were out there, we could hear that there was a hype man hyping up the audience, and that's where we found out. He was
there's a love triangle
in the house. Who should Jordan choose, Matthew or Henry? And I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
But only I had heard it, because I was in the smoking area, which is right next to the stage, so I could hear what was being said.
Oh, right,
walked out today, and I was like, oh my gosh. And so obviously the whole crowd had cheered for Henry. People had cheered for Matty, but I think it was pretty obvious that, you know, Jordan and Henry were going to go the way that they did. So I remember telling Chanel, and I was like, look, this is what I've just heard. So then she told Matty, and the next thing everyone in the house knew that it was actually a triangle. Because I know so many people were so confused how we were referring it to, like, we were referring to them three as the triangle, and so was the, like, the outside.
Yes.
So it was like, how did we know what they, but it was all
and that, now that's how you knew, because you heard the thing, which I suppose is bound to happen when you've got the crowd outside and because there's no way of controlling that crowd. And actually, talking of you and Chanel, I mean, your relationship was obviously fantastic as well. A standout moment will be the task where you two were in the kitchen in the fast food takeaway making. You were both I mean, I thought, right, give them a job on soap. You're both so brilliant. Without probably knowing you were brilliant there, it was so brilliant, you two, in that game. Basically, for anyone listening, everyone had to basically face their worst fears by eating what they hated, but you two were kind of making it up for them in the fast food takeaway.
Yeah, it was awful.
So, like, you got away with it, didn't you? You didn't have to eat anything.
I know, but do you know what? It was my favourite task, but having to touch the fish and stuff, and I can't believe I'm mourning. The rest had to eat them.
Oh, my God, I know.
Was Paul that day was mourning. He was hungry. So we thought, right, okay, well, we'll have you then. So with Paul's, we piled it so high, and it was like pick-a-lily. What else was it? It was pick-a-lily, pick actual, like, pickled onions, there was chutney on there, and then loads of cockles.
Oh,
but we had
God.
Literally put about a jar of pickled lily, a jar of pickled onions.
Oh, it
was disgusting. And honestly, and we that's all we'd talk about, is we couldn't wait to go and watch that episode back.
Did he eat that? I can't remember.
He didn't eat it all because of how much was on there, but we still passed the task. But honestly, that was my favourite task I ever did.
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, I love things like that. I mean, it's obviously I'm a Celebrity. It's kind of the classic one of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I'm whizzing through these. There's so much to talk about. But Trish as well. I kind of fell in love with Trish. I'm really surprised that Trish didn't be up there by the end, actually, because it was one of those things that the press, it felt like the audience were really on Trish's side. And I think her eviction, to be honest, in the whole series was the big shock when she went. But yeah, she seemed to divide the house quite a lot again, because, well, I don't know. But what we saw, I don't know whether it was different, because she was coming across so well. I know she could be... you know, quite mouthy, but it was yeah, when your little group kind of had a big thing, and I think at that time you guys came off the worst on TV, because it felt like she was being a bit like you were all up against her. But I mean, was it, obviously again, we're seeing what was on telly, is that what transpired? Yeah. Or you know, did you watch, have you watched that thinking, or was it different in the house?
So I've watched it, and, well, I can only go by how I felt and my opinion in the house. For me, it felt a lot different in the house than it right, transpired on TV. Like, obviously, during the day, we would all be, you know, getting together as a group, the task, mingling. Yeah. The divide would only really be seen in the evening, which, obviously, we were in the garden, but it was only because some of us would vape. So yeah, that's why we were always sat in the garden down there. But in regards to, obviously,
and I suppose, yeah, on telly, that looks like you've in a little, because that's the thing, like we said, you know, yeah, there's been a lot of drama with this in the past, big time on Celebrity Big Brother, especially. But again, everyone has to remember that when they're watching this, you know, like basically 15 minutes of telly could be 15 minutes of the show, but you've been in there 24 hours. So what we're not seeing, yes, a lot of stuff, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah, 1,000%. Like there's, you know, and Trish used to sleep in the bed next to me, and we would have laughs at night and stuff like that. But obviously, there's no way all of that's going to be shown.
Shown, yeah.
So, like, I can see that there is a lot in the show which sort of makes it look a lot worse than I ever thought
basically.
It was.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a shame that, again, I suppose you guys know that, well, you don't, I suppose, know that you're signing up for that drama, because, again, you never know what's going to happen. But those things are, it's almost like you want to put this yeah, out there, because like, because you don't want, because it does come in. And I even watch it going, and then I step back and go, oh God, I need to remember that. Then, like you saying, you three just sitting there vaping looks like you're sat there going to your little corner to have a moan, but yeah, actually you're
like,
not.
We're it's isolating.
Just, yeah.
We, and the thing is, the smoking areas can't be, well, you can't be shown on TV. So you have
oh,
to
I didn't
go in
know
one
that. Oh, so time. You can't show you smoking now?
No, so there's a separate oh, room, but it's at the back of the
oh,
garden.
Oh, right.
So
oh,
you can only
that,
go in one at a time, and it's only open at, like, specific times. So only in the night, it would be open for, like, 3 to 4 hours. So what right, would happen is, you know, we'd finish a task, they'd open the garden, then they'd open the smoking area. So, like, naturally, then we would go, right, okay, well, we're going to go straight out there. So we would go out for a cigarette, whereas the non-smokers, obviously it was cold outside, would staying, stay yeah, inside. So well, then that's it looked like such a divide, like us
yeah,
marching
yeah,
straight down.
That seems mad itself, actually, that you can't show people smoking now, which seems mad.
Yeah, so that's what it was.
And then obviously, well, so we'll go to the, I mean, the winner was Jordan. Again, a great winner, actually. The only reason I was like, oh, he's already rich as if he needs the money. But still, a good winner, I think. And Olivia second, Henry was third, Yin Run was fourth. I mean, generally, though, you must, what did, as you walked in that house and you saw everyone, did anyone totally change your opinion of them? Do you know what I mean? Who do you think went on, or who totally, did anyone totally change their, you know, your opinion of them? From the beginning?
Yeah, so, yeah. At the beginning, I wasn't expecting Henry to be, like, as funny as he is.
Yeah.
And Henry is someone who I genuinely think, like, you can sit in a room with him and he will make you laugh within, like, you know, 10 minutes. Like, just, but he's so naturally funny.
Yeah.
And he's one of these people who will sit and listen to you, and like, you know, they're actually listening, they're not just waiting to reply or anything like that. He is so genuinely just such a lush person, which I wasn't expecting when I first met him. I thought he was going to be like, oh no, not talking to you, but he's just got time for everyone. By the end, my opinion obviously changed on Jordan massively, spending 2 days with him. Who else did I change my opinion
on? I mean,
on?
I actually changed that. Olivia was the one I never thought would get as far. And it was like, it was really great that she did, because she was quite, you know, mouthy and open from the beginning. And
yeah,
you never quite know who the audience is getting. Like, I loved her as well, but she was someone that immediately I thought, oh, I don't think she'll last long. And she was second, you know, it's like, I didn't think the audience would fall in love with her as much as they did, because we actually saw loads of her, you know, being quite mouthy and stuff. Not in a bad way. No, I'm not saying that in a bad way. Do you know what I mean? But
now I'm watching like the celebrity one, I'm thinking like obviously how we probably would have been perceived at the time, because I have no idea. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, like I can imagine what Olivia would say like right now. And I'm like, oh my God, how like would that have like gone down? Because yeah. I like, obviously I've got no idea, but I just know that she would, like, she's just iconic. I'm obsessed with Olivia.
She's amazing. She's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so wild.
And then let's talk about, I mean, there's so much we can talk about, but quickly, so the new, I mean, I went to the old house. We basically filmed this when I was directing EastEnders. We were filming a fire at these big studios next to Big Brother. So we got to look around, and it was like all the cameras were like in traps around the rooms and stuff. I know it was a different house. Is that the same? Did you ever see the cameraman through the glass and stuff?
So we actually did sometimes. I remember one morning, right, so me and Chanel were sat in the eye waiting for the smoking area to open, and we looked to the side of us, and there was like 30 people just stood behind the mirror, and because the sun was shining on it, we could see through it, and I was like, what is going on? So Chanel obviously put her sunglasses on to hide from the paparazzi, and I was just there like, what's going on? And literally there was people with their iPhones out taking pictures of us.
It must have been a tour of like some really big cheeses or something from ITV.
Honestly, that it must have been, because I was just like, what is going on? And then it was like, can housemates come to, back into the house? And we were like,
they've all seen you, yeah. Well, I remember when we went, there was black curtains, and they would open the black curtains, go, there we go, look in. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, this is like being at the zoo, because there was someone cleaning their teeth right in front of us, but it was so much smaller than it, which everyone is, as we know on TV. But it was a weird sensation as well. I was like, oh, I don't really like this. It was like watching, you know, like you go to a zoo and you see animals in their cages.
Yeah. No, that's like how that. That's how we felt when people were taking the pictures.
Yeah.
But what I will say is, with this house, watching it on TV, it is so much bigger
than
in real life.
Yeah.
It is huge. Like, honestly, I remember they used to call me from the garden down to the diary room, and I'd be out of breath by the time I got down there.
Yeah. It looked much bigger. And then, I mean, obviously, again, nominations. I mean, must be so hard. I bet you basically spend the whole week thinking of who you're going to nominate, don't you?
Well, so I used to always be like, oh, like I used to dread nominations, but I used to always just like not think about it until the day and sort of reflect on the week. So we would have to sit down on the sofa, which I don't think they've done before. Normally it's you're all walking around living your best life and then you just get called in one by one. But now we all have to sit on the sofa and wait for everyone to nominate.
Go in, yeah.
Even worse, because you have to walk out and, you know, everyone
starts
their clap.
Yeah.
One more person out. But in actual fact, you're clapping the fact that you've just said you don't want to live with two people here. But I would use the time sat on the sofa to think, right, what's happened this week? How did it make me feel? Because when you go in to nominate, it's not as easy as I nominate so-and-so because of this reason. It's like, why do you think that they shouldn't be in the house? What made you feel like that? Can you give me an example of when they did this? When did they do this? What day have they done this to anyone else? How does this make the house feel? Do you think that dynamic would change?
Yeah.
You get grilled for your nomination and it's like, right, I cannot choose someone.
Yeah, you can't have a simple excuse of like, oh, they eat too much, but you know, they have too many baked beans.
But for the first 3, maybe 4 weeks, my nominations were so spot on that, like, every person I nominated went up for eviction. And I was like, nah, this is rigged. But, and I thought, right, maybe because I was the first person in, everyone I'm nominating is going up for eviction. I was like, is this like a secret task that I don't know I've but I think it was week four, I let myself down. And only one of them went up, not two. So,
and I suppose, again, that's because your mind in there must play so many games, because you know it is a game and you know that anything can change. So you're going, yeah, I can see why you would go, oh my God, is this some kind of other game?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing with the nominations. Again, it's because, you know it's a game, but I'm guaranteeing that being in there as long as you were, you forget in a way it's a game, because it does become really personal, obviously, because everyone then is your friends. You have to kind of go, people out there going, it's just a game, but it does lose that, doesn't it? It becomes like your life.
After a couple of days, it's not a game. Like, it's your life. And I like Chanel. So the nominations always go in alphabetical order. So Chanel was always the first. So she would always go in, but I used to feel for her because she was always waiting for the screen to turn on and for us to see her nomination.
Right.
So it was like, and the actual fear that would happen to me, it used to just stick with me. Every time I was in the dining room, I was like, this is going to get played out. This is going to, and like, that never happened to any of us. Nothing that anyone said in the dining room.
No, well, I do. I think Big Brother ruined that years ago, because the minute they did that, then everyone since has worried about that. So as kind of, I suppose, still thinking when you're speaking, you're thinking this could be being played out. Do you know what I mean? So they almost, it's almost like something that could be done once. And so, saying that about kind of what we didn't see, is there anything that you watched back that you were like, oh, I wish this was shown, that something that happened? Is there a moment that you think, oh, that would have been great to be shown?
Just so, like, obviously a lot more of the funnier bits which happened in the house, just like the things that the conversations used to have in the garden. Used to actually, like, we would all be barely laughing for hours, and like stories people would tell honestly used to have me in stitches. And like, I remember it, like the whole house sometimes we'd all sit in on the garden seats and we'd all try and like fit underneath the heaters and we'd play games and stuff like that with each other. Even stuff like we would always play Never Have I Ever.
Oh, okay. And she'll probably know, like, that was unbroadcastable. That's why.
But some of it was so funny. Like, you know, you'd have some people going proper, like, giving the darkest secrets. And then you'd go to Yilin and she's like, never have I ever, like, boiled broccoli. And it was just like, honestly, it was funny.
Yeah.
Some of the differences in personalities, playing games with each other. It was hilarious.
Well, I did. I worked on Scared of the Dark a couple of years ago, which was kind of like Big Brother in the Dark. And I just remember, for anyone listening, it's that thing that you have to have a careful balance. Like, do you get why producers don't show some stuff?
Because
you're constantly thinking about, especially with social media, what people will react to. Do you know what I mean? And like when you say, you don't want to give away all your secrets, really. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, I think when we watch Big Brother and stuff, we should all think of it as a bit of a drama, because what the producers are doing and showing stuff that actually hopefully won't really affect your real life. Do you know what I mean?
That it's kind of 1,000%.
It's all a bit tongue-in-cheek, hopefully, rather than being really, like, really kind of unearthing, you know, dirty or funny or, you know, things that could actually stop you getting a job or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I knew going in there that a lot of probably what I say wouldn't get aired because of the sort of sense of humour that I have.
Yes, I'll be exactly the same, yeah.
You know, I knew that from the get-go, and, like, I knew I wasn't going to be everyone in the house's cup of tea because of the stuff that I find funny, and some of them used to find me absolutely disgusting. But my little group thought I was hilarious. So
yeah, that's real life. You can't be liked by everyone. You can't be. And so quick fire round quickly. Who snored the loudest in the house?
Me.
It was you, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was awful. On the first night, I remember Olivia being like, he needs a machine, and I was like, all right, like, listening to her on the first thing, she's like, I'm gonna ask for earplugs tomorrow, and I was like, yeah, so am I. I can hear you. Leave me alone.
Oh, well, I'd be the kind of person that always swears that I don't snore, but I did one of those sleep machines once, you know, that records your sleep, and I was snoring all the time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I believe it. Person who ate the most?
Farida.
Was it? Or Trisha? Didn't Trish eat loads as well? Wasn't she the one who was get up in the middle of the... That would be me as well. I always get up in the middle of the night.
Look, Trish didn't eat loads. She just ate
regularly,
at, like, weird times.
Yeah. Which is good.
So it'd just be noticeable that, but like, Trish wouldn't have dinner, but then she'd sort of cook at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that's so me. She's so me.
Yeah, but it was Farida.
Person you saw naked the most?
Paul.
I mean, I think we can all guarantee that because he was half naked, half the show, most of the show.
Well, yeah, but Paul or Olivia, actually.
Would just outside walk around totally Paul naked. If there are people, he obviously wouldn't walk around totally naked, though, would he?
No. So Paul would be naked in the shower, and be very proud. But Olivia would, while we like were getting ready or something, she would be very proud. And
why not? Why not?
Yeah, I don't blame her.
No. And a person you would live on a desert island with, if you had to pick one of them.
I want to say Chanel, but I don't think she'd help me get home. I'd actually go with Tom.
Yeah, I think Tom would. Yeah, Tom's. Yeah, I think Tom's a good choice. Actually,
yeah,
good choice. And then we have to, before you go, we have to talk about Celebrity Big Brother. That's coming to an end on television. I think it might be tonight. Again, I mean, great. Your show did so well that it's come back. What have you thought of this celebrity? It must be weird seeing people in your house. First of all, celebrities.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Who's sleeping in your bed?
David is in my bed.
Right.
So I would have loved to have had Sharon Osbourne in my bed. I'd have put in my Instagram bio and I would have bragged about that forever.
I saw Paul put on his Instagram. He was very pleased that, who's in his bed? I can't remember.
Louis.
Yeah, he was very pleased that Louis was in his bed. I mean, I'm sure they probably changed the beds, to be honest, and the mattresses and everything. Do you know what I mean? I would think.
So I went in there and they haven't.
Oh,
so
really? Yeah, they just had a quick wash, a 5-minute wash for the environment.
But yeah, it's been, I'm obsessed with it. I've always loved Big Brother. So now watching it and knowing how it feels to be in there, I think
especially
it's
the same house. Yeah, it must be such a cool thing to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of, as much as I love Sharon in there, I do think they've got away with murder, this Celebrity Big Brother is, just by making her a lodger and she's got her own room and she doesn't get woken up. I do think it's a bit too much for me. Do you know what I mean? It's like either do it or don't do it.
I mean, it's, you know, she's rocking up at like 2:30 in the afternoon and she's like, morning. And it's like, hang on.
Yeah, I know. And only in there for a week. So she's not got to worry about being Malfit. Do you know what I mean? She's literally, it's kind of, I mean, I can see why they put her in because she is great television, but I do think I would have liked to have seen her. I would have liked her to be in it much more if she was doing it with everyone else. Do you know what I mean?
I would have liked her in there without Louis though,
without the walking stick that, you know, without your hands. Yeah.
It would have been nice to have seen that, but I loved Lauren so much.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of, because I didn't know who half of them were, to be honest, being older, but actually, I think it's a really good, I think we've gone away, thank God in the world, from putting people in that they know are going to hate each other, because we're in a world, hopefully, of positivity now, rather than promoting hatred and arguments. Not that you can ever tell, but it seems a nice group of people again. I was very surprised. My biggest shock was that Sharon and Louis nearly chose Coulson at first to be one of the first three, because I can't imagine a nicer guy who couldn't offend any less.
Honestly, I was like, why? It did that blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, there's no...
I love Coulson.
Not that I've just worked with him, but there's nothing that you would go... You know, and David Potts, I think, is great because he's changed a lot of people's minds again, because he's in there to prove that you can be loud and deliver, but also have a good heart.
Yeah, 1,000%. I think he's gone about it the absolute perfect way. And I think he's going to go far. Fair play to him.
Who do you think would annoy you if you were in there? Who would you be kind of steering clear of?
I do think me and David would clash.
Yeah, possibly. Or you'd probably either be best friends or you'd be like,
I think, yeah. So I don't know.
Well, let's go with that. Not saying you don't like him, but yeah, you might. Two peas in a pod could be. And who do you think would be your, you know, who would you be your Tom?
Oh, my Tom would either be Bradley or Marisha. I love Marisha.
Yeah, Marisha's great. And Bradley's great. And the guy from Strictly, I have to say, like I said to you before the podcast, I haven't watched all of them, but Nikita seemed to be very quiet. Is he coming at, has he been much more prevalent? Because they seem to not be really showing him.
No, I don't think he's getting as much airtime, but everyone is saying, everyone who's leaving is saying how genuine he is.
Yeah, so I think he's the one I would be best mates with. He's the normally yeah. It's the ones you don't see much that are the not them, because again, that's me making massive bold statements. But you know, they're normally the ones that grow because they're more the most normal is not the right word. You know, like if you're not a massive outgoing personality or whatever, just kind of a day-to-day person, it's those people almost are the black sheep that go further.
Yeah. I just think he's so real and he's just so like genuine to himself, and you know that it's not a show. Whereas,
what's next for you? What do you want to do? I mean, how's your fame been? Your sudden fame, has it been weird?
Yeah, it's been surreal. So I always say, like, I feel like Hannah Montana. So I've been
brilliant.
Like, I cover a couple of shifts down the pub, and then people will be like, "Oh my god, how's it being back?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I'm not back." Like, I'm going to London tomorrow now. I've got a photo shoot and, you know, I'm working with like a care company, Royal Educare, which is an amazing company. It helps people get back into the social care sector.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, great. What are their names? Let's give them another shout out.
Royal Educare. So,
okay, great.
Yeah, and it's just so nice. They, honestly, I'm obsessed with them. I don't know why I'm stumbling, but
it's nice. Well, it's nice that you can use what it's lovely when people use their, you know, their pedestal, their soapbox, soap for the box, their soapbox for good. Do you know what I mean?
1000%. And for me, I grew up as a young carer. So now to be able to help the sector and shine a light, and our goal is really to shine a positive light on the social care sector. It's not all, you know, doom and gloom as everyone makes
it. Which is all we hear. Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of fun. And, you know, I literally go into the care homes and I do shifts with them and, you know, just to meet them all. And it's just such a good, like, company for me to be working with at the minute. And it's such a breath of fresh air. Because,
sometimes
I go in and they don't even know who I am. And I'm just like, honestly, neither do I. It's fine. How are you, Bibs?
just to have someone to talk to is always good. You know what I mean? So,
and that's our goal.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. Well, big shout out for doing that. That's amazing. And well, listen, it's been amazing to have you on. I thoroughly enjoyed. You were a breath of fresh air in Big Brother. It was so, because I think genuinely.
Thank you very much.
You were yourself. You were very funny. Just a nice person to watch, which is why we've had you on. Just, yeah, lovely to have you on. And I've always said I'm jealous because I'd love to do it. But again, you know, I have always said I'd love to do it if it wasn't on telly. Do you know what I mean? I'd love to do it as a social experiment.
Yeah.
Because I'd love, honestly. I think you must learn so, did you feel that you learned so much about yourself?
Yeah. I found a newfound confidence in there.
Great. Yeah, good. Well, you can tell always, that, which is brilliant.
For someone who's always sort of been self-conscious, now I'm coming out and I'm like, do you know what? People have seen me 10 times worse. Just post the picture. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing.
And that's great for people out there, again, who don't fit the mold of being what we think is the perfect person. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah, doesn't matter.
No, it does not matter. Well, listen, mate, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast. Thanks for coming on. And good luck with everything you do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Jenkin Edwards for being on Soap for the Box. It's so weird interviewing people. I was obsessed by Big Brother last year, so it feels like I knew Jenkin, but obviously I don't know Jenkin. But a pleasure to speak to him. I'm back on Friday with another soap star, this time a star of EastEnders. Have a good week, and I will see you then.